Topic number 3. In monthly audio letter number 7, December 1975, I revealed that the Canadian government has decided to strike out alone instead of being led down the road to Rockefeller domination. And now, Canada is trying to defend itself against political and economic war being waged against it by the Rockefeller brothers. It may come as a surprise to some people, but the Canadian government, unlike that of the United States, is currently trying to act in the best interests of its own citizens. For that reason, I seldom go into much detail about what the Canadian government is doing, because I do not want to upset its efforts to save itself. In a television interview in Ottawa on May 11, 1976, David Rockefeller said to his Canadian audience, quote, "You face a dilemma. Are you more anxious to be completely independent, or do you want to see your resources develop faster with the aid of others?" Unquote. He added that Canadians must choose between greater economic independence or increased prosperity. His statements reflect the intensifying economic pressure being applied to Canada by the Rockefeller interests. For example, they are now backing out of major commitments to develop Canadian oil reserves. This led a few weeks ago to a bombshell announcement by the Canadian government that, contrary to all past projections, Canada will not be energy self-sufficient in the coming years after all. Meanwhile, the Canadian government has struck back by turning down, for the moment at least, a fleet of Orion military aircraft built by the Rockefellers' Lockheed Aircraft Company. Whether it be individuals, companies, or nations, competitors are always regarded by the four Rockefeller brothers as a threat to be absorbed or eliminated. Where there is competition and diversity, there is always the chance, no matter how small, that they might somehow lose their position of supremacy. Losing that, they reason, they might someday be exposed and brought to justice. And that could mean losing everything, because their entire mode of operation is one of corruption, hidden manipulation, and flaunting of the laws that they impose on us peasants, as they call us privately. So through a combination of greed and an ever-haunting concern for security, there arises an insatiable lust for power. And because evil practices confer vast worldly power, this leads to a conscious embrace of these practices that amounts to the worship of evil. Early in the 20th century, the Rockefellers of that day joined certain others who shared an identity of interest in such things to form a commitment to create a one-world government. This is what Nelson Rockefeller means today when he refers to an open world. No borders, no North and South Vietnam, no East and West Germany, no Virginia and West Virginia, and no taxes for his global corporations. Just one stupendous world government, the most awesome dictatorship of all time, with himself as world president. To direct and coordinate the entire program under the One World commitment established two generations ago, the Rockefellers set up powerful tax-exempt foundations and used public relations to give them the halo of philanthropy. The first stage in this commitment, as I reported to you last month, was to embark on the deliberate use of war to so alter national life in the directions they desired. The second stage, which followed very quickly, was the forging of a covert partnership between the rulers of the United States and those of the Soviet Union, whose communist system was put into power by the same group of people. The wealth and know-how of the Western world, especially the United States of America, would be drained off to strengthen their ally, the Soviet Union, leading to the forced collapse of the United States. This would mark the dawning of the third stage, one world government under a partnership between the Soviet Union and an America reorganized on the pattern of the Soviet system. To bring these things to pass, powerful forces were unleashed over 50 years ago, corrupt, dishonest forces. In 1920, for example, the Rockefeller and Carnegie Foundations arranged through the Guggenheim Foundation to establish scholarships to begin the rewriting of American history to create doubt about the principles laid down by our founding fathers. Carefully selected candidates were sent to certain universities in England for indoctrination, after which they were brought back and placed in strategic educational positions at the University of Chicago and sprinkled through other important institutions of higher learning. Through their positions of leadership, they would ultimately influence United States history teaching throughout America. The objective of this commitment was to bring on collectivism through the downgrading of the individual and the upgrading of the elitist group that planned to rule the collectivist world. At the same time, propaganda through entertainment, educational, and news media was to be designed to render people incapable of believing the truth about what was happening, by making conspiracy theories of all types look ridiculous, too silly to be taken seriously. In the more than half century since this one world commitment was formed, the trustees of the Rockefeller-controlled foundations have moved the one world program very far indeed. But the forces they unleashed are now running out of control. They have opened Pandora's box, and now they are beginning to see that they too are being swept along by the very same forces that they themselves have set in motion. More and more of the trustees of the Rockefeller-controlled foundations now believe that the commitment for a one-world government as originally conceived has jumped the tracks, and now they see the specter of a horrible end coming into sight just a little further down the road, a double cross by the artificially strong Soviet Union, with the Soviets picking up all the chips for themselves. But the mounting fear of the trustees still is not shared by the Rockefeller brothers themselves. Loyal, patriotic members of the United States intelligence community inform me they are grinding their teeth in frustration because the efforts of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to upgrade American defenses against the very real Soviet threat are being vetoed at every turn by Nelson Rockefeller through Henry Kissinger. The Rockefeller brothers firmly believe that war is coming, and soon. But even now, they still believe the Soviets will abide by their secret agreement for a completely programmed war when that phase of World War III or Nuclear War I is reached, which calls for nuclear warfare on American soil. David Rockefeller and his affluent intimates still think they hold the upper hand with the Kremlin bosses through various devices. For example, there are several casks of radioactive plutonium-239 superpoison stored by the CIA on the fourth floor of the central building of the United States Embassy in Moscow. These were taken there in 1971 from the Fort Knox Bullion Depository by the CIA to be maintained as a blackmail threat against any tricks by the Soviets. Like those which remained in the Fort Knox Bullion Depository, they began leaking long ago and are responsible for the leukemia now suffered by Ambassador Stossel and others in the embassy. This is the truth behind the cover stories you saw recently alleging that health problems in the American embassy in Moscow were being caused by Soviet microwave radiation. But why expect the government to worry about a few mere employees at our embassy in Moscow? Exactly the same kind of radioactive superpoison has for months been spreading through underground streams from Fort Knox into the southeastern United States. One of the most immediate threats from the CIA superpoison is an underground concentration centering on Chattanooga, Tennessee. This hot spot extends 23 miles west, 25 miles south, 42 miles east, and northward toward the source, which is Fort Knox, Kentucky. The water supply for over a quarter of a million Americans is threatened, yet the federal government still refuses to tell the truth about this deadly threat. David and his brother still believe also that the Soviet need for trade with their global corporations will keep the Soviets in line, adhering to their secret commitments. But how wrong they are. To get ready for the war, David Rockefeller has just built a new fortified family hideaway on Bartlett Island, adjacent to Mount Desert Island off the coast of Maine, where other Rockefeller strongholds are now in existence, complete with bomb-proof shelters. The latitude of Bartlett Island is 44 degrees 22 minutes north, almost the exact center of the super-secret nuclear safe zone, which has been established for the Rockefellers and their affluent intimates in America during the coming war. This zone is a band across roughly the upper half of the United States and including the lowest portions of Canada. It extends from 40 degrees to the south to 50 degrees on the north, and the center is 45 degrees, almost the exact latitude of the Rockefeller compounds off the coast of Maine. That, in fact, is why 45 degrees was chosen as the center of the nuclear safe zone. Members of the Rockefeller inner circle who are in the know about all this have been buying real estate in Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the Dakotas, as some of you may have noticed who live in those states. Now you know why. Now you also know the real reason why our anti-ballistic missile installations, which were located within the nuclear safe zone, were dismantled last year. The upper half of the United States is to be a virtual demilitarized zone, except for some military installations which have been around too long to deactivate without arousing suspicion. But they would not be used against the Soviet Union in Nuclear War I by the United States. Just look at a map of the United States, my friends. Look at the enormous nuclear disaster that is in store for us if the Rockefeller brothers and their Soviet allies are allowed to carry out their insane plans for total conquest. Alaska, which lies above the nuclear safe zone, is scheduled to have its now uncompleted oil pipeline blasted out of existence. Hawaii, below the nuclear safe zone, is scheduled to be hit to knock out the naval installations there. But our real Pearl Harbor this time is to be the Panama Canal, as I revealed 19 months ago in my audio book talking tape number 1, How to Protect Yourself During the Coming Depression and Third World War. As for the continental United States, California, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey, and all states south of them are immediate candidates for nuclear attack, even if there is no Soviet double cross of the Rockefeller brothers. As I first warned on radio in June 1974, not only the Panama Canal, but American cities are already targeted by nuclear missiles in the Republic of Guyana, next to Venezuela, ready to strike from the south where we are weakest. Americans really cannot believe the terrifying possibility of nuclear war, feeling that neither the Soviet Union nor the United States would risk its own destruction. But the Soviet Union, spending over $1 billion a year on massive civil defense preparations, is ready to survive nuclear war one, unlike ourselves. And the Rockefeller brothers and their intimates are ready to survive it too, with their fortified hideaways in the nuclear safe zone. But for the rest of us, my friends, the only war preparations are the mass burial sites, which are now being quietly set aside without explanation, such as the 80-acre site in Wood County, Wisconsin. My friends, this is war, and you, your loved ones, and everything you hold dear are the targets. We are being attacked without mercy, and the weapons being used against us are the weapons of evil. We must fight back now, while we have the chance. Not with the power of evil, however, but with the power of truth, which I still believe is more powerful than the most evil plans men can devise. Here's what we must do now. First, we must stop the insane plans for America's destruction in nuclear war one, which I am convinced will be even worse if it is allowed to take place than the Rockefeller brothers planned because of certain Soviet double cross. All aid and trade with the Soviet Union must be cut off, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff must be freed to take the proper measures to protect our country against the Soviet Union. There's no time to be lost. Every governor, every senator, every congressman, every state legislator, and every mayor in the states including or below the 40th parallel, plus Alaska and Hawaii, has an immediate duty and responsibility for the lives of the citizens they represent. That duty is to demand that Secretary of State Henry Kissinger publicly reveal the secret war plan agreements with the Soviet Union, which established the nuclear safe zone I have described. These agreements are now in the possession of the four Rockefeller brothers in their hideaways on Mount Desert Island and adjacent Bartlett Island off the coast of Maine. Every single one of the officials I have described must be alerted to this plan. and if need be, forced by public pressure to demand this public accounting from Kissinger. Any official who refuses to pursue this life and death duty, once alerted, and pursue it vigorously, will be knowingly jeopardizing the very life of every man, woman, and child he has taken an oath to protect. Second, we must block the program of the four Rockefeller brothers to eliminate our beloved free Constitution and replace it with their own dictatorial New States of America Constitution. The same officials I have just mentioned, but for all 50 states, must be alerted to this plan and must be pushed by public pressure into action. Have no illusions, my friends. Neither Congress nor most of the other officials I have mentioned will do anything whatsoever about either of these things on their own. With rare exceptions, they respond only to pressure, and usually that pressure comes only from powerful special interests, which these days usually means the four Rockefeller brothers and their total lackeys. But if they are alerted to these terrible dangers and are kept under constant, unrelenting public scrutiny and pressure, I believe Congress, as well as the other officials, can be mobilized on both of these particular matters, the war and the Constitution, to do what must be done to save our country. Because this time, their own survival is at stake, as well as ours. What you must do in this terrible situation is something that does not come easily to most of us. You must get off the sidelines and into the fight. You must speak out about what you know, even though many may not yet believe you. You must search out others who share your concerns, once alerted to our common danger, and who will join with you to take action under our Constitution to prevent disaster. And you must get your priorities straight. The situation is not a liberal, conservative, black, white, Jew, or Gentile, Democrat, or Republican issue. It's a matter of survival, literally life and death, and survival as well as of the system which allows all these individual differences among us to continue to coexist. You must join with others in your area, even if it is only one or two at first, and figure out what your particular group can do to bring the pressure for action that I have just described. Do you have an independent newspaper in your area whose editor will listen to the truth and perhaps follow up on it with his own investigation and editorials? Is one or more of you a member of a lodge where you could bring up these matters and generate support for action? Can you rent or borrow space at a church or school to hold public meetings where more people can be informed through tapes or other means? Take stock of your own resources, whatever they are, and use them. And don't ignore your financial resources, be they large or small. Would you rather use a portion of your worldly goods in order to preserve an entire way of life? Or would you rather sit back and let it evaporate uselessly through Rockefeller-induced inflation and the searing heat of nuclear warfare? Remember, you count. The Rockefeller brothers and their affluent intimates are powerful, but their power is exercised through the willing minds and hands of millions of others who, for the most part, do not even know that is what they are doing. You and I are not confronted by a whole nation of enemies, but just a very few individuals who have learned how to push and maneuver others into doing their bidding. So if you feel outnumbered, don't. As far as our real enemies are concerned, those at the top, we now outnumber them. So what in the world is the sense in letting them enslave us? My friends, I have told you what I think we must focus on and fast. In December 1975, I also recorded audiobook number 6, What We Can Do to Save America, to give you some thought starters, and I know that some of you are pursuing suggestions I made then. But beyond that, I believe you must use your own initiative to see how to put things together to work your way, working with others in your area. Under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, you are guaranteed the right of peaceable assembly for a reason. Use it. You're also guaranteed the right to petition government for the redress of grievances. Use it. And keep in mind always that under the 9th and 10th Amendments, it is to us, the people of the United States of America, that the ultimate power of our government is reserved. Use it, or very soon you will lose it. My friends, the time has come in your life when your future depends on your willingness to face up to reality and to act. I understand your attachment to things you have worked so long and so hard to acquire and achieve. And yes, there is a risk involved in doing as I am urging you to do, a risk of being ridiculed by some, a risk of losing money, and even a risk of failure. But the element of risk is now reversed from what we usually think. The real risk now lies in not taking action, because if you don't take whatever action you can, you risk letting the Rockefeller brothers succeed in their insane plans and thereby losing everything. As I begin the second year of the monthly audio letter series next month, God willing, I plan to keep on providing you with the information you need in order to do your part to save yourself, your loved ones, and our nation. Will those who have exercised vast power through covert means on behalf of the Rockefeller brothers continue now to throw in their lot with their masters, now that they see at last where this is leading? Or will they choose to begin making amends for the evil forces they have unleashed against us, the people who are the United States of America? Never before in the history of our United States has this phenomenon occurred, that one family controls the destiny of this country. And whatever happens, I consider myself honored to be placed in the position that I am now in, to join with you in the fight to move our great country forward once again on the path laid out by our founding fathers. Until next month, this is Dr. Beter. Thank you, and may God bless each and every one of you.